Welcome home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Right now, we're Ocean City Positive. We're down here in Ocean City, Maryland. We're at the conventional. I'm very appreciative that they've opened the windows here. I got, like, natural sunlight. I'm the only spot in the whole building with regular light. Tom Perlazzo is here from Ocean City, Maryland. I've got scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery, and I'm putting the whammy on myself here. I got the pressure luck scratch-offs we're going to be giving away. We're going to be doing the Crab Cake Tour 5 days in a row. Next Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to celebrate our 27th anniversary. We're going to change our logo from where Tom Perlazzo has the 26th logo here once I get figured out. Also, the Lucky Sevens Doublers. Our newest friends at GBMC involved. You'll be hearing about that, as well as Curio Wellness and Liberty Pure Solutions putting us out on the road, including down here. I saw Liberty Pure Solutions billboard on the way down in 50. So hi to Doug out there. This guy here, how often do you drive back and forth? I mean, you live in Ocean City. You're from Western Maryland. By the way, I had your buddy Leo Mazzoni on the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm driving this drive back through Salisbury, and I went down the Blackwater and to Hooper's Island as part of my 27th anniversary. But I'm like, how often do people in Ocean City, like, get in a car and drive? Cornbread comes up for every football game. I know him. Yeah. But, I mean, how often do you wind up in Baltimore as the Ocean City Tourism Director?
Well, you know, I'm probably there more than what you think. You know, it is the hub of the state, sort of, you know, especially in the off season. So a lot of events happen here. Of course, we're regular sponsors of the Orioles and Ravens and
how many Oreo games you get to? Your name's Perlazzo, by the way. He's real. I'll get to your brother in a minute, but do you still go up a couple, five times a year?
I probably do 5 games a year. Yeah, we actually do a promotion with the Orioles, and then I've got an opportunity here and there, so we sneak up there and check it out. Love the Orioles.
Well, look, I was with you at the Maryland Tourism Coalition event that kicks off Mako here. First things first, what is Mako? Explain what this is, because you and I get together and you got a suit coat on. It's 20 degrees in here. We're in a convention hall.
It's freezing in here. I'm the older I get, the colder I get, I think. So, you know, maybe that's why
I get
south.
Skinnier and I'm, oh, yeah, well.
But look, this is the Maryland Association of Counties, and everybody across the state, county, governmental-wise, comes down here for a summit for 3 or 4 days, and it's a great learning, opportunity. There's educational sessions. We have great vendors like yourself to come here. There's opportunities to see what's happening out there.
There's 300 people
counties.
In this hall. I mean, 300 vendors, businesses. My partners at Cole Roofing have a thing on the other side. Just anybody that does business from the governor down through the state of Maryland in any way, in any governmental capacity, winds up here. And it's a little lobbying, a little networking, but more than that, whoever put this together third week of August every year, right after the Marlin, right before Bike Week, all that, this has been going on a long time, but this is it's tough to get a room here anytime. It's especially tough tonight and tomorrow night, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're really thankful that, it's hosted here. It's been here for, 30-plus years.
Well, I noticed they don't do it in the winter.
Yeah, smart. Very smart. I don't think anybody would attend in winter. No, I'm not sure. But anyway.
But people do bring their family. They come for the whole week. And this
absolutely.
Is a small part of coming down here.
Absolutely. It's a great event. And, again, it adds to our economic value to Ocean City. And, you know, the convention center is really, you know, it's crazy. It's 250,000 square foot facility. It's beautiful. Lots of exhibit space. We have lots of events year-round like this. Including a beautiful performing arts center where we do lots of different things. Broadway shows, concerts.
I see comedians coming in here.
Comedians,
yeah, sure.
All the time. So we're trying to be that little, that hub for place to go to. You know, it's community oriented. Our citizens are proud of this event, and it's an economic generator for the state as well.
Every time I come to this convention hall, I stayed right across. You can see my room in the second floor, literally between the tower right there. Mike Faribault, the Evening Sun, Senior Week, 1987, 88, 89, and 90, about 4 or 5 of them. He would rent me. We stayed right across from here, but Bob Newhart played here a number of years ago.
Absolutely.
Before he passed away.
Yep.
And I wanted to come. My wife and I love Newhart. We loved Rickles. And we are, now that they're both gone, we feel so dumb for not having seen Bob Newhart.
Oh, he was amazing. And, you know, we've had Jay Leno here.
Seinfeld, probably? Yeah.
Seinfeld. Yeah. We've had, Lewis Black as an example.
He comes on my show. He's an Oriole fan now.
Yeah, I know. He's a Maryland guy, right?
He's a Silver Spring guy.
Yeah. So we got him here last year, a couple years. Joe Gatto. We had Murr from the Practical Jokers. There's just Bill Engvall. you know, sure. one of the redneck comedians. But yeah, it's and we've got a lot coming back up. So we're hoping to host Frank Caliendo. In 26.
I know Frank.
You know Frank.
Frank's been in my house.
Oh, I like
Frank
that.
Has been in my home.
Does he do his impersonations then?
Oh, you know, he can do anything you want him to do. Yeah, you know, you just get him going. He'll start. Say Madden, and he'll boom, and you know, and his face changes. It's crazy. It's funny to watch his face contort to.
Oh, I know
the impersonation.
It's crazy.
Duke Gruden for me.
Yeah, he's so good. And you know, it seems like the sports people really know who he is. And I've asked that Gen Z. They're like, "Who's Frank Caliendo?" I said, "You've got to see this guy."
Well, yeah, and he's a funny dude all the way around. So for Ocean State, what's important here? Because I mean. Give your title again. I want to get it right because I always think of tourism, convention, director, getting you do, I don't, but it's a big title you have.
Yeah, well, it's the director of tourism and business development. So, you know, I'm supposed to be an economic driver for business here in town. As an example, you know, we recruited 3 quality concerts that occur on the beach that attract 55,000 people.
5 years ago, you and I, it was a dream. The first time you tried it,
hurricane
we had a storm.
Yep.
I mean, and I remember sitting with you and the mayor a year after it got washed out, and you're both like, "Do we have to do the show?" Or you're like, "Please hold on to the weather. We'll do it." Yeah. And the thing has turned into, I mean, all my friends came down for Def Leppard a couple weeks ago. We have the Bike Week coming up in a couple. Crack the Sky's playing. A bunch of local bands are playing. And then the big one, you know, obviously that's become the thing is Lenny Kravitz and Black Crowes and that weekend.
Yeah.
September, you've extended the calendar into September and October here to make them sort of kind of part of summer, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's great weather here. You know, I guess I came here 35, 40 years ago. And, you know, September and October, it's beautiful.
People think it snows down here in September.
I was like, the crowds are gone. The water's warmer. The restaurants aren't crowded. There's an abundance of things to do outdoors September and October. So, you know, we did stretch the season. We changed our calendar. You know, we're solid every week through November. And then we got a 2-week break, and then we start in the Winterfest. So with 40 days of you know, beautiful lights.
I see your
beach.
Christmas stuff too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
that's
become
it.
A little bit of like we used to go to Hershey Park at Christmas because they would have all the lights and all that. But I know you're trying to do the Santa at the beach thing down here.
Yeah,
you know?
it's Winterfest has been around for 30 plus years as well. I don't want to date myself, but you know that's an event I brought here when I was the director of Recreation Parks. But it's
because you were trying to extend the season, right?
Give
people a reason to do something.
Yeah, I mean, we had so many second homeowners, and look, we thrive on small business. Look, our restaurants, our small businesses need support in the off season. You know, they'll get it in the summer, but you know, there used to be that old saying, you know, turn the lights off. Last one, turn the lights off when you cross the bridge, and we don't do that anymore. So we're a kind of a year-round community. There's always something going on. As I mentioned, the Performing Arts Center has been a real asset for Ocean City. We've dubbed, you know, just, you know, up the game, I'll say.
Well, the whole shore has.
Yeah.
I mean, from the Freeman Arts and the kind of concerts they get up there, just from here all the way to Rehoboth, probably even across the Lewis Ferry. It's just, I was up in Dewey for a concert, Tom Conwell, a couple weeks ago, and just seeing how many people are making a life here, not making a summer here, right? Like, literally.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, look, our brand is somewhere to smile about. And that's, I think we deliver that every day. You come across the bridge, you have that feeling, you know, that excitement, that fun, that view. And it just creates an emotion that, you know, we're trying to capture. We want people to know that, feel that when they come here. So we're doing events, we're doing things that make that happen here.
All right. Sports complex is something when driving tourism. Obviously, you get all these people down here for these big concerts. You have built-in 4th of July, built-in beach, built-in sunshine, built-in Mako. What's the next step toward that sports piece that we had talked about so much? Because I think Disney's really benefited from that and Ripken Baseball, different things that were for kids. But you've had every kind of lacrosse, soccer, basketball, softball. You know, I've had Hondo Handy on around here.
Yeah.
All the stuff
yeah.
that you guys have done down here. But that has always been, and, you know, your last name's Palazzo. People think baseball, think sports are you anyway. But the sports part of this and the youth part of this and the family part of bringing people down here for, let's just say, more than Jolly Roger and Thrashers and the beach. But these seasonal events, volleyball, all that you can use this facility for, that's really what you were kind of focused on the last 5 years when I talked to you about it.
Yeah, we're still really close. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
You know, we've we've struggled for a piece of property. If we had a piece of property that we felt like you know, could do the job, because it's a $160 million estimated cost to build an indoor and outdoor complex.
What does that mean, a complex? What is it, soccer?
So
is it?
We're talking about an indoor facility of 200,000 square feet plus that can have 8 to 12 basketball courts.
How big is this facility?
This is 250,000.
So it's about this size. You're looking
exactly.
For, okay, fair enough. Okay.
So, and then the outdoor portion will have 12 outdoor AstroTurf fields. And again, look, the sports in general, you know the way it is. It's kind of recession-proof in a way. Look, parents spend money on their kids
more than ever.
You know, so it's probably larger. That business is larger than the NFL. You know, so it is really dominated by families, and that's our resort. We need to take advantage of that. I mean, we're solely relying on several tax, you know, opportunities, property tax, room tax. That's how we generate money. That's how we have police and fire. That's how we improve our infrastructure. You know, with a sports complex, it just takes the pressure off, and it does it year round, not necessarily just in the summer. You know, we're it would be heavily used in the winter, and then we'd move outside. And look, the entire county, if not state, would benefit from this facility. It would be the biggest in the state of Maryland.
Well, you'd have people coming from all over the Mid-Atlantic to play whatever.
All over.
Virginia, New Jersey, all that. And I've seen the volleyball come to downtown Baltimore when I lived at the mm-hmm. harbor, and it would just take over the harbor for a couple days the way an Army-Navy game would, or the way anything that felt that way would. All the rooms down here, I often wonder this. Are there hotels that are seasonal? There are hotels that shutter down November 15th or something like that, maybe reopen March or like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the smaller independent hotels, you know, it's been in existence with living off the summer. They take off, close their hotel, go.
Family business.
Yeah, it's a family business. And that typically happens here. But there's 11,000 hotel units in town. The major brands are always open. You can always find a place to stay at a really good rate.
Now, look, I'm an old guy. I've been coming down here since the 70s. There was never a Holiday Inn or a Quality Inn or a Marriott sign. First thing I saw when I came across a 90 bridge was – obviously, Fager's, where I went out last night and watched the sunset and, you know, listen to them play the medley that they do. But the first thing I saw was a residence in the Marriott, and I'm like, that was just not a part of the Ocean City vernacular, even in the 90s. Late last century, it was like, and I always often wondered, like, why isn't Hyatt there? Why? And I thought, well, 6 months a year, there's other places those brands can go with their money. Disney World or, you know, whatever, that's not considered to be a summer place, but that unto itself has changed the perception of this. And I think the other thing is Maryland brands, especially Baltimore, all of the bars, all the Libs Grills, all of the all of those Baltimore Bella, they all have a branch here, right?
Oh, yeah,
the
Looney's, without a doubt.
Just all of them want to extend their brand down here. And I guess part of that was getting the bigger brands to get a Starbucks down here, even when Hooters came. Names you'd heard of was not something. I mean, it was Layton's. Nothing wrong with Layton's, and it was Phillips. And before there were Secrets, there was all of that, the Harrison family. But it's become much more brand-centric. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought when you think about it, you know, Ocean City was kind of sleepy, you know, back in the day, that people didn't realize what it could be. And there was, you know, we had vision, but you know, the
nothing
major
wrong with the Plym Plaza now. Back in the
exactly
70s
right.
with my mama.
But but you look, you know, we're a generational community. I mean, you know, for example, the Harrison Group has 10 or 11 hotels. I mean, that family has been here for generations. So, you know,
they told me their story about Peaches. Do you know that?
Oh, the Peaches, sure.
I mean,
Stephen Decatur High School.
I mean,
yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know,
so there's a lot of legacy families in town that really operated Ocean City, the Jenkins Groups, the Trimpers. It's been, you know, and they were all in the hotel business. You know, I mean, look back in the day, you know, past 60th Street, the only thing there was the Carousel. You know, which was that was considered way uptown. It was, you know, it's like 118th
Like the
Street.
Sands was in Vegas.
Right.
Way over there.
Yeah, but it's not way over
there
anymore.
Now that is the Strip.
That's exactly right. So it's grown up. And again, I think we're getting, we've had a great summer so far. I will tell you, June and July economically have been really good. You know, we're pretty proud of that as you compare it to the comp set and what's going on economically in the world. We're hoping we finish strong, but we have the events to kind of help, you know, bolster that. And, you know, we're like everyone else. We have to make it June, July, August, September. That's a priority. So that really carries over. And then we, you know, our town is changed. The clientele changes here in a couple of weeks. Kids go back to school. You know, we get couples, we get seniors, we get, you know, empty
people
nesters.
People want a little more quiet.
Right, exactly.
The
so
55 plus group.
That's it. So we're, you know, again, we in the tourism department, we market differently. You know,
sure.
We have to be on top of the game. And I think we got a great agency in BVK and, you know, our team, our marketing and advertising team in general is you know, top notch.
All right. So if I ever do business with you and you become a sponsor, I need to find the human being, the artist that developed the smiley face.
I can show you that.
I'm thinking, like, you bid this project out a number of years ago, and so we need a new logo, we need a fresh thing, branding and all of that. Now you just go to AI and say, give me 100 ideas, and it would. But
that's correct.
but it wasn't that way 5 years ago. So give me the genesis of the rebrand and the marketing, and then we'll talk concerts. But from the OC, I mean, everybody who watches an Oriole game, you see the little happy face. And when the first time I saw it was about 3 years ago, and I know you and I know the mayor. I've been coming down here for years. And I said, my God, I'm trying to think of anything that has been a rebrand that has an image or a logo that's better than an O, a C, a smiley face on a sunshine. And I'm thinking, I wish I could be that smart about my Baltimore Positive logo. So I just got crabs and Maryland flags is all I got, you know?
Yeah, it was a great process. I mean, you know, look, when I came and was the director of tourism, there was always something missing from marketing. You know, we really just established a campaign every year. You know, because even though I wasn't the director of tourism, you know, I was a part of the tourism effort here. I was on the, you know, the tourism commission. And I'm like, look,
I can sing the jingles.
Right.
Ocean City, yeah. Maryland. Yeah, yeah. I remember all of those, right?
Yeah. So we felt like we were missing that overall arching concept of why people love Ocean City. You know, we talk, you know, again, generational community. You know, my family came here. My kids are coming here. Their kids will be coming here. We just, we forgot about, you know, really why people love here, that emotion, that
I'm
fun.
I'm looking at the place where I had all the fun, senior
right.
week in 88. I'm literally looking at the balcony.
That's the key word.
Pictures of me as a 19, 20-year-old guy having smiles. When
right.
I think of Ocean, I think of the girls, I think of the boys, I think of the bands. I found a picture of me and Batman, the last picture we ever took, down at Fishtails. It was 2022. We took a selfie to it because he and I would go out late night and he'd bring his bike down
yeah.
with his helmet on, looking like the Fonz. And I've had so many, I mean, even you, just friendships and people down mm-hmm. here, that the smile part is really the,
yeah. That,
I don't know, if you're thinking Ocean City and frowning, you did it wrong.
Absolutely. And that's the point. You mentioned the key word, fun. We're fun. We're carefree. We've got that feeling of release. I mean, come down here and enjoy yourself. Of course, we want you to behave, but you can have fun and not behave. But anyway,
I have misbehaved.
Yeah, I have too. So, but
might have even done that last night. Who knows?
And you know? this actually brand logo really stands out. From
when did you see it the first time? And were there five? I mean, I'm thinking what second place? Because it's such a great image. I can't think of any other image where I'm like, that's the brand. Look at it, you know?
You know, it was really crazy. We did, when we first saw this, it was in a sticker form. We were going to develop these stickers and give out. And I go, whoa, let's wait. Because, you know, we're not, let's do it differently. Let's just wait and make sure. I mean, because we had a little pushback on the logo, which we don't have anymore. Because, you know, they're looking at that traditional, you know, I want the ocean and I want this. And I tell you, and that's the point. You know, when you look, you compare us to Virginia Beach, Myrtle Beach, Atlantic City, you put our logo on there, you're going right to the smiley face every single time. And we've done all kinds of studies to prove that. And now it is, you know, people really accept it and understand what we're trying to do. So it was a long process. I mean, we had like four or five opportunities to look at. You know, we went to that retro side of things, which was great. I mean, I love retro, but it really didn't tell the story of the feeling, the fun. It told the story of generational you know, opportunities that have occurred here in Ocean City and will continue to occur, but it really didn't capture the essence of what we were trying to communicate.
Well, it's sort of the why. It's a smiley face and a sunshine.
That's exactly right.
That's it.
We change the colors. We do things. It's a unique brand logo, and I'm hoping it'll be here for a long time.
Tom Palazzo's here. He does all things tourism. I'd like to be out on the beach right now. I put my feet in the ocean last night. I took a picture just to say I did it because I know I'm going to be in this crazy convention hall. Give everyone out there the genesis of all these concerts that get people crazy. I've had you and the mayor on, and I go back. I was coming down here when there wasn't a concept on it, and I think I might have even said to you, hey, I came down for that Styx concert because they're buddies of mine. You had sort of worked it out before the plague. Maybe it was like 18, 19, somewhere in there. Styx came down and played. And the thing I remembered about it was like you could sit on the boardwalk and listen to the concert for free. So I'm like, man, nobody got to pay for it if you're doing that.
That's right.
And the band had its back to the boardwalk, and they played sort of toward the ocean. And I had a great night that night. And I said to my wife, I'm like, how can it be all these years? Because I piled in a car when I stayed at that place 30 years ago with my buddy John Allen. And the Fabulous Thunderbirds played on the beach in Dewey Beach. Oh, man, 1990, 91. It was a long, long time ago. And they were a big band then. You know, I think Stevie Ray had just died, but his brother's in the band. And we trekked up there in the afternoon, Jeep, girls, bikinis, music, on the beach. It was like something out of an MTV, you know, summer thing. And I thought, why doesn't Ocean City have concerts on the beach? And, I mean, for me, that was hot. I mean, it almost 35 years later before you use the sand for a beach. And they have been doing this down in Dothan, Alabama and Panama City and doing all of that. What was the pushback on doing it? Obviously, zoning, police, all that kind of stuff. Where are we going to do it? Where on the beach are we going to stage it? But doing beach concerts is not a new thing, but it's sort of a newish thing here. And it's been... despite the first one, you got washed out the first time. But it's really been something that everyone in my world circles. And then when Def Leppard shows up that weekend, that group is here, the country, the bike fest, all of that. Yep. You're about to go into that season, but that season didn't exist. How did all of that come together? Because the OAR guy was a big part of that, right?
Yeah, OAR was a big part. I mean, look, here was the situation, before, we got the concert promoter. I mean, there are certain pillars in the travel industry or tourism industry that are really a great segment. So music was one people will travel for. Most people pay 25% more for their hotel room and travel to go see music events. You know, it's intergenerational travel was another. There's, the foodie thing. There was all these things that we just didn't capitalize on, as a community. So that was always in the back of our mind. Plus, there was that mentality here. You know, the culture is always one that's difficult to navigate. It was, they would tell us why we couldn't all the time. And we kind of changed that. The mayor, city council, tourism, we said, look, forget telling us, how we can.
If
tell us
doing
how
it over
we
there,
can.
Right. We need to do it here, right?
So tell us how
we
can. I
went to Virginia Beach, 30 years ago. I saw the Bodines, the Smithereens, a bunch of bands. They were doing it was Labor Day weekend that they did it in Virginia Beach. And they would bring, modern bands in all the time. The Gin Blossoms, those kind of bands. And I remember that, and I always wondered, so they told you couldn't do it. What were the challenges, and what have you, other than obviously it might rain? I mean,
again, the boardwalk, all the small businesses, they just really didn't understand the impact of what we could do. And it took a show and tell. I mean, it really did. We had to prove that we could do it. There were things like, you'll never get a liquor license. You'll never be able to enclose the boardwalk.
You don't have enough police.
We don't have enough police. We don't have enough fire. We don't have this. You don't have that. And we're like, wait a minute. We can find someone. So, and it was really strange, I will tell you. I didn't even start work. I get called from Jessica Waters, our marketing and communications director. She goes, Tom, before you take the job, you need to come in here. We've got this concert promoter that wants to come to town. He'll be at the mayor's office. Great. So I show up 30 days before I get ready to start work. Concert promoter's there. It's the OAR guys, and it's Tim Sweet with C3. They'd like to use our beach. So that's how the process started. The mayor, Jessica, myself, and then I took the ball and ran with it. We went down and vetted them as a concert promoter. And again, I'm going to give a lot of credit to C3 and Tim Sweetwood. They addressed all of our concerns. I'm telling you, it was like a boxing match. Every time that we were ready to go, the business community would throw a right hook and make us, you know, start over again.
Right.
So now we've established this. Everyone knows and accepts it.
You've created another 4th of July weekend.
We have
literally.
Four 4th of Julys if you include 4th of July. So it's one of those situations. And, you know, now I will tell you how this thing's evolved is, you know, everything happens downtown. Now we have to figure out how to get all those people to come here. And I will tell you, we sell tickets from every state in the U.S. plus international destinations. And I've got the stats. I know what zip codes are coming from, who's buying it. It's amazing. And it's been, you know, we're hoping that those people, 70% of those folks have not been to Maryland or Ocean City. We're hoping we convert them back for a summer vacation. So it's a huge opportunity. It just goes beyond the concert. Economically, just so you know, 3 concerts, $500 million to Ocean City and the state of Maryland. It's ridiculous.
Say that again. Three concerts.
Three concerts, $500 million. Economically,
rooms, taxes,
plus
everything.
Plus,
and people aren't coming for a day; they're coming for
day, 3 days, 4 days. If they
not like me trying to sneak in on Friday because I got a football game on Sunday. But
I mean, look that, and look that. Just to give you the magnitude of the event, one event, the concert promoter is probably, you know, he's got $18 million into it, maybe 20. You know, infrastructure, talent cost, all the things,
setup, everything.
So he's invested. He's our partner. You know, we want him to continue to come back. We were lucky enough this past year to sign him to a 7-year deal. So 7 years.
Now, there's breaking news. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, I'm learning. That's why I bring you on, Tom.
So Ocean's Calling, Country Calling, and Boardwalk Rock.
We ain't getting Lenny Kravitz and the Black Crows next year. So you want to come see him, you better get down here and see him here this summer.
So we're actually working on a 4th. But we're nowhere near that.
You doing that EDM thing where all these
no
sparkling
EDM.
People come in here?
No EDM.
I'm in Vegas for that every year.
Are you?
Well, the Maryland party's out there. It's Preakness Week. And, you know, I got a room over by Circus because I couldn't afford to win. And it was something. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Know,
oh, yeah.
The glitter. Nobody's wearing any clothes. They're up all night.
Yeah.
But that's the EDM festival
right.
they have out there.
Yeah, the genre thing is –
Hold on. You're doing country. Let's see. Rock. Hairspray Rock. You did bike. You got the bike.
Well, bike week is, you know, metal usually.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of it.
So what are we missing here? I don't even know.
Well, we were looking at pop. It's more of a crossover soft rock kind of thing that, you know, we could potentially do, like Katy Perry, like
Yacht Rock.
Pink.
Let's do a Yacht Rock.
Well,
weekend.
Yeah.
Come on.
We've had that request for Yacht
Come
Rock.
Come on. My wife's got a hat and everything. She looks like the skipper.
The skipper. You know, I think it would be really unique to do. You never know. You never know. We're hanging tough, though.
Tom Perlazzo's here. He is, yes, he's related to Sam. We'll get to some baseball in a minute. He runs tourism here in Ocean City, Maryland. We're here for Mako. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Lucky Sevens Doublers as well as the Pressure Luck. I'm trying not to give anybody the whammy. It's our 27th anniversary. We're going to be out doing a crab cake tour in all sorts of places, including Fadley's next week. We're going to be at Pizza John's next Friday in Essex. We're going to be at Solancha, the NFL's Point. We're also going to be at Costas and Timone. We're going to finalize things at Coco's in Lauraville on the 27th. But every day, a new place that's my favorite place is to eat. So I don't want to give it away. By the time people hear this, they'll know. But driving down here to Ocean City, I put up a status yesterday, and I'm going to challenge you, Mr. Maryland guy,
uh-oh,
Tom Palazzo.
I'm
going to challenge you with this because I put this up online yesterday, and I couldn't believe it because the state's so beautiful. I said, I need a real show of hands from Baltimore people. How many of you Maryland lifers have never been to Blackwater Refuge?
I've been there.
It is I've been there 5 times now. All in the last 5 years, the Crab Cake Tour got me to Hooper's Island. I went back to Hooper's Island yesterday, so I veered off a course, the Harry Tubman Trail, all of that. Saw her childhood home on a side road. Crazy. People don't explore the whole state, and they don't do all of this. For me, I'm trying to do food. So I went to Salisbury, and I went to the Ugly Pie.
Yeah.
And I got me a coconut by death by coconut.
Yeah.
And then I went into the little grocer up here about 65th Street on the left. Fried chicken, coffee, nice little grocery.
Yeah,
I'm talking about there.
Yeah.
I went in there and they had the Ugly Pie right there. They had pies in the case from Ugly Pie. Now, my place here, the featured place of my 27 favorite things to eat, I had to think, what's my absolute favorite Ocean City thing. And I thought, and a thing that I can't only get in Ocean City anymore because they make it in boxes and they send it everywhere, but it's different. When they do the Scoopy Scoop on the boardwalk and all of that sugar runs together on that popcorn down there.
Oh, yeah.
Fisher's popcorn. Fishers. I'm going tonight. I'm going to shoot a video. I think it's number 19 on my list or 20 on my list because I'm counting the days down. So I did Ugly Pie in Salisbury. I did Old Salties down in Hooper's Island. I'm going to do Suicide Bridge on the way home. Don't tell anybody, but I'm doing that. Getting off of Cambridge and going north up to Hurlock. But Ocean City, for me, it's Fisher's Popcorn. And today, I couldn't do three. I can't do everything down here. You know, Les knows I love him. But Fisher's has been the thing since I was a little boy with my mother, staying at Plym Plaza. We would walk down the boardwalk. What street's it on? I'm trying to do one of the name streets.
Well, they're all over.
Caroline? Is it which one?
They're on Caroline Street.
That's what I'm thinking of. Down by Alaska Stand.
Exactly. They're there, and actually they're a little north as well, right at North Division, just south
Division,
of North
that's
Division
what I'm
Street.
Thinking. I'm thinking a big long one where the glass is in the front, and the kids wear the hats, You got the little box for about a dollar that was, and it's hot and gooey. And
that's
it's stuck
the key.
In your teeth.
The key is it's warm. When it's warm, it is. It's like Krispy Kreme donuts when the light goes on. But when you do Fisher's popcorn,
that's what
it's
I'm going down the boardwalk and doing it.
It's
Tell me about the boardwalk because I think everybody in my world, and I told you this when I saw you the other night, a problem happens on the boardwalk. Everybody's got their video cameras out, and if it happens at 3 in the morning, I get up 5 in the morning and I see it right away. And the bad news of one incident that happens in June, I'm talking about in August. There have been a billion incidents here of good things that happen every single day. I saw it out on the beach last night. But bad news travels, and trying to manage that because there's a million people to come down here. Something bad's going to happen. That's the way. And I hate when any place gets pinned. Why am I going to Ocean City? You see what happened on Boardwalk? Yeah, okay. All right, fine. You know, you don't see the other things that are happening down here. And I find that'd be kind of tragic, you know? Because I think of the boardwalk as a safe, fun place where I used to go and meet girls and take families and the little trams would go through, like all of that stuff going down there. I know the boardwalk has changed a little bit and it's grown up, but the boardwalk is still the place I'm going tonight to get my popcorn.
Well, there's no question. Look, you know, 75% of the folks that come here for vacation are going to the boardwalk. It's our Times Square. It's unique. It's very iconic.
You didn't go to Ocean City if you didn't go to the boardwalk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just the way it is. And you know, look, that incident you were talking about, you know, it was unfortunate. You know, it happened on a very busy night.
Yeah, but like when you were celebrating.
Right, we're celebrating America, it painted a bad picture in a way. But look, I will tell you, 99.9% of the folks that came here had a terrific time. We're always going to have that element. I will give credit to the OCPD. Fire department, EMS, et cetera, they were on top of it. They squashed it in time. And, you know, hopefully, you know, those things don't happen again in the future. We're a little better for it, you know, today. We understand how that kind of, evolved, and now we can, you know, get ahead of things
that
happen.
Well, every community is going to have a crisis management situation.
Correct.
They just are. And in the modern era, it's going to be captured on video, and it's going to make people look bad, but it doesn't.
It's
not indicative of Ocean City experience.
It's just social media has just, exploded the sensational, opportunities by everyone with a camera. Everyone is a reporter. Everyone, you know, has an angle, and it's difficult to control. But I think we did a good job. Again, it was not overwhelming in any way. I think the kids just, they just got a little out of hand, and they took advantage of whatever pocket they could find where they can just be mischievous. And, you know, hopefully that won't happen again in the future. But we'll be ready for it either way, both from an intelligence standpoint and, a security standpoint with the number of bodies we need. You know, it's one thing to control the cars. It's one thing when there are individual people in a mass of regular people and families. And, you know, it was a situation that we just really had a hard time controlling initially. But then we were able to focus the attention on you know, the trouble and correct it.
Well, I'm glad to be here in Ocean City, Maryland. Tom's here. Golf ball, you still
play? I'm still playing.
I know
a
you from
golf.
The golf world.
Yeah, I'd love golf.
I've known you
golf.
30 years.
Yeah, I know.
And you tell everybody what you ran golf down here for a long time.
I did.
Back
you
when
know,
your brother was the coach for the Orioles, before
right,
he was a manager.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, as a director of recreation and parks, I had the opportunity to build Eagles Landing, the town's municipal course, although we call it a resort golf course. It is really, really nice. So I did that, and then I ran, the Ocean City Golf Association for a number of years.
Rum Point. I just read them out. Tell me all about it.
Rum Point. Lighthouse Sound.
Lighthouse Sound. There you go.
There's Glen Riddle.
I don't know that one.
Eagles Ocean City Golf Club. Glen Riddle has 36 holes. That's where Ruth Chris Steakhouse is.
Right on 50. Okay.
Right on 50. So, it's grown up. I mean, there's probably 20 courses in the area. 10 or so are in our association.
Well, Berlin's grown up, too.
Oh, Berlin has grown up. They've
I mean, Berlin was the outhouse every time there was like a tropical storm coming. Everybody would bury her and they would report
go
from
to Berlin.
Berlin, right? You know,
yeah, can't do that anymore.
but I mean, that's the only reason I even knew what Berlin is. And now I know the people of Burley Oaks and, you know, just the breweries. But that's all part of the grown up part of the shore is that West Ocean City, people are using the beach and people are living down here more than a week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you know, we want people to live, work, and play here in Ocean City. That's the only way we can grow as a community. We need year-round, opportunities. We need, we need talent to
Ocean
move
City
here.
Positive. Ocean City.
I like that. So.
Well, I'm getting older. Yeah. I'm going to need to retire at some point. Come down here. Maybe Secrets would have me in the booth up there. I'd replace Batman.
That'd be good.
Just hang out.
Yeah,
you
there
know?
You go. I know them.
Social. I do that with the Alaska Stand Club. Your brother and baseball. Before I let you get out of here, and I hope the mayor stops by because I like.
I will make sure he tries.
Yeah. How's Sammy? What's going on?
Sam's doing. He's doing great. You know, he's retired in Tampa, doing some. I guess some knockoff work for here and there. Meaning, they'll call him up to rehab an infielder here and there, or he'll, go do a clinic or.
So he's still doing instructional baseball.
A little bit, yeah. You know, he's playing more golf than anything, but, he's starting to enjoy his retirement. Although, being on the road, all that, 40 plus years in baseball, I know he gets a little antsy sitting home. So he likes to be pretty active. I can tell you, he complains to me. When I know he's complaining about being busy, I know he's pretty happy,
So. Well, I'll give you a little baseball Ocean City story because you'll appreciate this. So back in the 90s, Camden Yards opened in 92, and my show started in 91. So I got my press pass, and I got to know Cal, got Brady, your brother. Yeah. That was all that Elra, that was that era, right? And we're losing some of those folks now, too. I mean, obviously Mike Flanagan, some other people from that period of time. Ripken Sr. was a part of that team, Johnny Oates, other people. And I remember Cal Ripken maybe – it was before the streaks. The streak was 95. Probably 93, 94. Got to know Cal a little bit. He was always in the clubhouse goofing around with Butch and playing tape ball and whatnot. And you're there early in the day and they're getting dressed and you're just BSing in the way reporters used to know players, which doesn't exist anymore. And one time I said to Cal, I'm like, hey, Cal, I'm going to Ocean City this week. I said, what's your favorite thing to do in Ocean City? And I swear, Cal looked at me. He's like, literally dead, like dead. He's 35 years old at the time, or whatever. He's like, I've never really been to Ocean City.
That's correct.
And I'm like, whoa, you're from Aberdeen. Like, he's like, I play baseball every day from February 1st through hopefully October 31st or whatever, right? And I thought to myself, man, the baseball life and the perception on the outside of the money and the fame and the glory and the uniform and whatever. Rock star life's harder. I have a lot more rock and rollers on here, and I'm like, bus to bus town. I had a rock star on last week. He didn't know what town he was in. He's like, I think we're in St. Augustine. I don't know where we are. I'm on a bus. I think the baseball life was harder than you realize, and the things that you miss out on in that way, family, all of that.
Oh, no doubt.
I think it's a very difficult life, and not just to achieve at that level, as we're learning with the Adley Rutschmans and all these young players. It's hard to perform once you get there. Your brother was a hell of a baseball player. Yeah. He made it for 1 minute, in 1 second.
That's right.
He's got that Mariners uniform, and all of that. But that's how hard it was, and I know how proud you were of him coming up. You thought he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. 40-year career in baseball doing what he loved to do all of his life coming out of Cumberland.
I'm envious.
That's a good life.
Yeah, that's a terrific life. Yeah, he, look, that is such a hard life. People, and again, look, you can't go anywhere. You know, you're
Sammy didn't come to Ocean City either, right?
No. But, you know, what I tried to do, and that's when we started a fundraiser for the kids, is a celebrity golf tournament after the season. But you can realize after they've traveled all season long,
I gotta go to Ocean City.
They're not going to come to Ocean City.
Right, yeah.
You know, but we tried to make it more of a family getaway, get them rooms, put them ocean front. You know, as I mentioned, October was really nice here. People just didn't take advantage
of it. And readily available.
And, you know, if we had plenty of, you know, occupancy available. We had beautiful hotels. We put them up. Anybody, you know, we had a bunch of Orioles come down for that. Sam would help us get those guys, the BJ Surhoffs, the Mike Bordiges.
El Rob would do anything you ask him to.
Oh, my God, yeah. We had them all, you know. I'm trying to think of all the different names, but from every sport, you know, that we were able to attract them here, and we did that for 15 years. We probably raised $500,000 over the years. You know, it wasn't a lot of money, but it was a lot of money to us. I was buying Little League baseball uniforms that we didn't have. You know, our budget was our budget. We didn't have a lot back then, and it just allowed us. We had this advisory board. We funneled the money in there. It was a 501c3. And they would buy things for the kids that we couldn't afford to do. So, you know, baseball, basketball, every sport, soccer uniforms, you name it, we were able to capture through that celebrity golf tournament, that advisory board, and create a better experience. You know, we didn't have money for bats. We didn't have baseballs. It was crazy back then. I can tell you it was not easy.
Well, now you're trying to get a complex built, so I'll bring the thing full circle. Tom Palazzo's here. I'm going to let you go. What has to happen? And again, we talked about this a half an hour ago in the segment, but the importance of this sports complex. Look, I remember when these concerts were a dream, you know what I mean? And now you're five deep, 5 years into this, $500 million into this,
yes,
and all of that. I want to come back 5-6 years from now and see the smiley face here, and you're like, all right, we got groundbreakings next spring or whatever, you know? Because I know how important it, this is. This in the wind, you know, out, those are the things that I feel and see and hear in Baltimore, above and beyond the concerts and the fact that it's Ocean City.
Yeah.
And friends of mine like the Liberatore's family are coming down here and investing, obviously. But this sports thing would be part of what fills all of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. There are two things. One, we need to protect our investment with the offshore wind and not allow the Vista to be dominated in any way, shape, or form by offshore wind. The second, how we grow Ocean City, is to build that sports complex. And, you know, it's going to happen. We need to, you know, we're not going to make everyone happy. We've got to find, we've got to find that location, and we need to get on it. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen overnight. We've hired an operator, sports facility management. I can tell you they just recently.
This wouldn't be on the peninsula, right?
No, we're going to have to be off the island.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So we're looking, you know, we've probably looked at 100 different parcels. We need council to say, hey, we want to do this, let's do it. Tom, get it done. Terry, our city manager's involved really heavily.
It's involved the state, though, too, right?
Oh, it involves the state. The state looked at economically. They'll support it. Now, all that was prior to their budget woes. So, you know, again, we're going to have to navigate that. But I think we have found that we've got a revenue mechanism that'll support both the operations and the construction of the facility.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah. So let's do it. I mean, look, I can tell you, we'll be sitting here 10 years from now, hopefully, God willing, and we'll be, you know, if it's open, we'll say, you should have done that 35 years ago. There's no question about it.
Well, I said that about the concerts. I mean, they were doing concerts on the beach in 1991 up in Dewey, right?
Right.
And they were doing them in Florida, you know, 20 years before you kind of came around to doing them.
Our comp set is way ahead of us. Myrtle Beach, Virginia Beach, they've got facilities, indoor and outdoor, you know. Families are exploring them versus coming here. We see it. You know, we know. I've got employees that have kids in lacrosse. They're traveling all over the East Coast to take their kids. And we're like, look, you know, besides the fact that, you know, the southern half of our county is not economically capable of going to those tournaments and things, we can provide that facility. This is a facility for everyone. It's not just, you know, a tourist trap, sort of, you know, where we
but
drive all that.
But it's also year
visit.
Round. It's not like a concert round. Where it's just like it's, a 3-day weekend. It's a 365.
Right. It can fill our hotels. It can fill our restaurants. It can create jobs. It is basically, you know, it's the lost leader that we've been missing here in Ocean City, and hopefully we'll be able to get this off the ground here real soon.
All right, we're not missing anything down here. We're in Ocean City, Maryland. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Curio Wellness and GBMC. We're at the Mako Conference down here talking to cool people like Tom Palazzo about how to make Ocean City better. You need to get down here. Like, if you're Black Crowes or Lenny Kravitz, you're probably coming down. Hey, here's my problem. I was slated to come down in June, and I didn't come. And then, like, it got into July, and I'm like, well, I'm already going in August, so, you know, I knew I was coming down. So this was a little bit of a North Star for me this weekend, and I'm glad the weather has held up here.
The weather's been beautiful. And look, I would tell every listener out there, go to OCOcean.com, the accommodations owner. You can book right from that website. We have an app, too, called Visit Ocean City that you can create your own beer trail, as an example.
I like that.
It'll tip you push notifications, you know, what's happening in town. It's really terrific. And again, we welcome everyone that wants to come, regardless what time of year.
All right, so for everything I do love in Ocean City here, all the restaurants I love and Thrashers and all the cool things I've ever done here, I am going to feature Fisher's Popcorn. Is that okay? Is that
absolutely
acceptable, right?
Absolutely.
It's a real Ocean City brand,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, here we go. Look
there
out.
There you
oh,
go.
Oh, man. I got royalty here. I got all the Ocean City people. Mr. Mayor, you go sit in? You ready to go? All right, I'll take
all right.
a break.
Listen, thank you, sir.
Good to see you. And he's already told me the whole, you don't, no, I'm going to get you back in here. We're going to have the mayor of Ocean City on next. Tom Palazzo is here. We are in Ocean City, Maryland. That's the old thing, right?
That's old.
I can still sing that, though.
We'll forgive you.
Back for more. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.
Ciao.
How you doing?